Thank you and good afternoon. Someone has said the people who talk most about the good old days are the first to complain when their television doesn't work. We appreciate the opportunity of being with you today. It's good to be able to study from the Bible and to look at those things that are taught in the Word of God. Would you look with me now to the book of Luke, chapter 1, and we'll read about four verses from this chapter. We begin with Luke saying, "For as much as many have taken in hand to set forth in order a declaration of those things which are most surely believed among us, even as they delivered them unto us, which from the beginning were eyewitnesses and ministers of the word. It seemed good to me also, having had perfect understanding of all things from the very beginning, to write unto thee in order, most excellent Theophilus, that thou mightest know the certainty of those things wherein thou hast been instructed." We'd like to study with you for a little while this week in regard to the idea concerning the things that we believe. I believe sometimes we've been misrepresented. I believe sometimes there are people who just don't know what we believe, and so I believe you need to understand what Churches of Christ stand for. And if you have never had the occasion to examine or to look for yourself at what is taught and what is practiced, then we invite you to do so. Certainly we'd like for people to sit down with their Bibles and find out just exactly what the Bible says and compare that to practices by those who are members of the Church of Christ. Luke wrote, and he said, "I wanted to set forth in order the things that are most surely believed among us. And I wanted you to have assurance concerning the things that the teachings having to do with Christ and his word. I want you to know the certainty of these things that you have been taught." Well, when somebody says, "I know about the Church of Christ, they're the people who don't believe in music." Well, actually, that's a misrepresentation. We do indeed believe in music, but we believe in vocal music like the Scriptures record. When somebody says, "We don't believe in music," friends, we have music at every service. But it's vocal music, it's people singing and making melody in their hearts to the Lord. Others have come along with the idea, "Well, you fellows believe that you're right and everybody else is wrong." I affirm to you, there's never a time that that statement is made by those who are members of the Church of Christ who understand what the Bible teaches about this matter. If I were to say to you, "God is right," then that would be a proper representation. But for someone to say, "You think you're right and everybody else is wrong," it just simply is not taught and is not conducive to our proper understanding of those things that we surely believe. So when somebody comes up with ideas like this, we need to explain what it is that we do believe. Another comes along and he says, "Well, you're the people who believe that all you have to do to go to heaven is be baptized." Well, we've never taught that. The importance of baptism is certainly emphasized in the Scriptures, but along with other things that are emphasized in regard to Christian conduct. So to say that we only believe in baptism and that that is all that's necessary in order to be saved is just not fairly representing. Well, as we've looked at these things, we suggest to you that sometimes people just don't understand what we're saying, or there are some people who willingly misrepresent what is being said, and therefore it's up to us to do all we can to dispel wrong conceptions and to tell people exactly what we believe in religious matters. Well, as we go into our study, we believe that there are certain things that must be laid out clearly. When those are understood, then you'll understand a little bit more about the Church of Christ. First of all, let me say to you that those who are members of the Church of Christ believe that the Bible is the inspired Word of God. We're not talking about a book that came by human origin, a book that was written merely by men. We're talking to you about a book written by men who were directed by God in the things that they said. The Bible claims inspiration for itself. You remember statements like 2 Timothy chapter 3, 16 and 17. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto every good work. When you read that statement, it simply says to us that the Bible claims for itself inspiration. When you go through the Old Testament and you begin reading the prophets, those in the Old Testament who were directed by God in the things that they said, these men affirm that the Word of God was in their heart, that God had guided them, and God was guiding them to speak the Word of God. How many times do you recall reading in your Old Testament statements by men like Jeremiah saying, "The word of the Lord came unto me"? That simply means that Jeremiah, when he wrote, didn't write his own ideas, but the word of the Lord came to him, and he wrote those things that the Lord has instructed. And so, when we find in the Bible, both Old and New Testament, claims for inspiration, then, of course, that gives us some idea as to how to treat the Word of God. It's interesting to note that the Apostle Paul wrote to the church at Thessalonica and told them that he thanked God for them. Then he gave the reason. "Because you received the Word, which we preached unto you, as it is in truth the Word of God, which effectually worketh also in them that believe." When we treat the Bible as the Word of God, we treat it differently than we do the words of men. Now, sometimes people give us advice. We listen to what they have to say, and then we go and do whatever we want to do. But that's not our approach to the Bible. The Bible is the Word of God revealed to us. We don't have a right to take the Bible and say, "Well, I'll accept it here, but here I won't accept it. I'll do one thing that the Bible says, but other things that the Bible says I won't do." We have no right to do that. Certainly, the Bible teaches very plainly that it came from God, and that the Bible is indeed God's book. And therefore, when I read it, I'm not reading the words of men. I'm reading the Word that God has inspired. In 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 20 and 21, Peter says, well, in verse 19, we have a more sure word of prophecy. We can depend on it. "Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of private interpretation." Now remember, that's talking about how the Bible came. That simply means that John did not write what John wanted to write. John wrote what God told him. And so that would be true of Paul, or of Peter, or Jeremiah, or any other of the prophets of God. The Bible is not the product of man's thinking. But notice, Peter explains, "Holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Spirit." So when somebody says to you, "What do churches of Christ believe in religious matters?" you can answer by saying, "They believe the Bible. They believe the things that are taught in the Bible came from God, and that they have no right to change or alter what God has spoken." This is an introduction to some of the things we'll be talking about this week. We hope you'll be listening, and we remind you that it was Jesus who said, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved." We now return you to our announcer.